The manual and the forums make no mention of it at all. Damn, why is the internal help so truncated? If I could only get into the main net, that's where all the information about Barleona can be found. But here... I heaved a bitter sigh, brought up the spirit summoning mode, selected the crystal in Draco's paws, and summoned a strengthening and a healing spirit on it in turn. As soon as the spirit settled in the crystal, a window with the description of the new spirit appeared before me. The water spirit of healing, strengthening. Next to the description, there were two active bars with sliders, healing and strengthening. After playing around with it, I felt somewhat disappointed. It turned out that the spirits of healing and strengthening summoned separately give off 100% of their force, while a combined spirit is not equal in strength to the two spirits making it up. Not only did the summoning time of the healing spirit increase, but the effectiveness of the healing and strengthening equaled to only 70% of the original. The sliders made it possible to increase one of the parameters to 90%, but in that case, the other one fell to 30%. Such strengthening would be of little use. It also looked like the interdependence between the parameters was non-linear. I changed the healing spirit to the spirit I ended up with and carried out a similar operation with mass healing. I thought that this combination would be more useful. Now I'll play around with attacking spirits. I selected the crystal and summoned to it the spirits of water strike, intermittent damage, and control. A triple kidney shot at the opponent. The maximum number of the combined spirits cannot exceed the rank of the spirits. Damn. Looks like it was too early to celebrate. But, to be fair, it made sense. You had to level up the rank of the spirits in order to play with combining them. I put together the water strike with intermittent damage, optimizing the active zone. Two free slots appeared where the Spirit of Water Shield could be summoned, which, in turn, could be combined with healing and drop a shield around the healed target, blocking some type of damage. Phew! Now, let's roll. I concentrated on the empty slot and started to summon a spirit. The rank of Elemental Shaman has access to the following additional spirits. The Spirit of the Shield. Do you wish to add the spirit to the active zone? Finally! After acquiring the new water spirit, I combined it with healing and once again shifted it to the active zone. I won't be freezing now. I summoned the spirit of healing shield and gave a smiling Kornik a pleased look. Although, no, he wasn't smiling, but laughing with impunity. I don't get it. What's so funny? A minute later, it became clear what made my teacher laugh so much. The water shield had a certain property. It was made of water. And it was cold in these mountains, very cold. When I found myself inside an ice sphere, my shoulders slumped. Kornik is such a bastard. He knows that my focus is water, but didn't stop me. Although I'm not much better, I got so carried away that I didn't think of how water would react to cold. The shield should really be made of air, like Kornik's, but I don't specialize in air. Blast! After waiting a short while for the shield to dissipate, another question for Kornik. Why did his shield last a long time, while mine only lasted a minute? I started to free myself from my icy prison with my mallet, like some chick breaking out of an egg. Why wasn't the dome breaking?
You are doing it wrong!
I completely forgot about Draco. He continued to circle me, observing what was happening with great interest. What's the right way, then?
You shouldn't hit just anywhere. Find a spot and hit there.
Will you help me?
Yep, found it. Hit right here.
Draco nosed a place in the ice capsule. If that's it, here goes. Move away a little, eh? There's gonna be a big boom now. I took as big a swing as the confined space of the ice sarcophagus allowed me and hit the spot that Draco pointed out. Then came the fireworks. The ice barrier flew apart in all directions, as if it had been exploded. The icy wind was back, but the golden glow that surrounded me and Draco stood in its path. Where was this strange music coming from? Wow! It worked! Great! Playing crows! When I stepped back from the bright light, I looked at little Draco circling nearby. Although there was no more little Draco. A young 2-meter dragon was cruising through the air around me. "Isn't this great?" he said happily. "I can pronounce letter R. It's brilliant." I faked a smile and patted the dragon on the back. I don't get it. Did I just incarnate him? How on earth? Searching for your totem, quest completed. Quest, the path of the shaman, step 2, completed. And that's it? Could all my tribulations with the scroll have been simply aimed at successfully getting out of the ice capsule with my dragon? What happened to the unique bonuses? Where is the gaining of unsurpassed might? Where are all these things, I ask? And where are the dragons, if it came to it?
I greet you, my son.
While Draco continued to growl at anything and everything as he learned to speak properly, an enormous green dragon landed on the ground next to me. I should probably mention that I only now noticed that my dragon was black as night. I'd got used to him being transparent, so it didn't register right away.
"I greet you, Father." I bowed before the dragon. I wasn't really getting the deal with the father-son stuff, but played along just in case.
"My name is Aranoxotelicus, that green reptile that Kornik mentioned. You may call me Renox."
"Don't you go spoiling my apprentice," I heard the goblin's voice. "Quit it with all the role-playing, son, father. He's a shaman, not a dragon."
"Dragon? How can I be a dragon? I'm a human."
"You are a dragon."
Renox's roar echoed through the mountains.
"He's a shaman."
Kornik shook the mountains with a matching roar.
"Hey there, Dad."
Draco just completely floored me.
"Can you really believe it? I'm alive again, and I've regained my memory."
"People, can someone explain to me what the heck is going on here?" I probably looked stupid, but I really didn't understand a thing.
"Kornik, you start. I'll correct you if need be,"
thundered Renox.
"A shaman must have a totem. Without it, he's nothing. There are a myriad of ways to get a totem. You can ask for one from your teacher, or find it by yourself. Or you can do something unusual and pull the totem out of the Greylands. Essentially, everything's as it's meant to be."
"Man, I am astonished by how you manage to understand the combination of spirits with a teacher like this. Kornik, please lay aside your principles at least once and explain everything properly."
"Don't interfere with my educational process. I teach the way I want to teach. Do I meddle with your dragons, trying to teach them how to fly. So you stay out of this, too.
Do you at least know what happened here? I asked Draco, who was continuing to growl at the stones. Cornick and Renox had descended into a deep ideological debate on the meaning of existence. It was useless trying to interrupt them, and I had only 2 hours left until my return.
"Nothing special. I was a dragon, but 100 years ago I died while fighting the ice giants of this world. I was only 300 years old, just out of an egg, you might say, and in the first battle was careless enough to get hit by a rock. I wanted to help my family. My father had spent a long time looking for a way to reincarnate me, until he found out that I could be incarnated as a totem. Even if it's for a short time, it's still better than total oblivion. He appealed to the shamans, and they summoned me to this world as a totem. In the last 100 years, no one got a dragon as a totem, and even if they did, I would have ended up as an ordinary, naive, and foolish little cub. Even now, when we return to your world, oh, I'm no longer growling my R's. I would again turn into a small baby. To get my memory back over there, I would have to be raised to level 200.
And why did your memory come back to you here?
I was born anew, from an egg, and born together with a brother, too.
With who?
Surprise! With your dome, you made an ice egg, and with his breath, Father turned it into a real one. Do you think you would have failed to smash an ordinary ice barrier with your mallet? So from a dragon egg, there hatched 2 dragons. One who was reborn, and the other is you, brother.
This one's at it, too.
It turned out that Cornick and Renox had been standing nearby and listening to Draco's tale, having stopped their debate.
Stop muddling his brain, or it'll boil over soon. Don't listen to them. They won't teach you anything good. Life is much more complicated than just being a dragon. Looks like you'll have to be told what really happened here. 100 years ago, at the request of this green lizard, the Shaman Council reincarnated a dead dragon in a totem.
Like you can talk about being green,
dropped in Renox, without a hint of offense.
No derailing. Now then, so we did incarnate him, but we couldn't find any worthy candidates to receive this totem. We tried out a few volunteers, but all died in the dragon fire. Even Garanika wouldn't risk it. And then you turn up, with a dragon for a totem. When Prontho found out, he barely restrained himself from abandoning his mine to spread the word among the shamans. He did restrain himself. His sense of duty was stronger. But he sent me a message, and I started to watch you. Right, I'm veering from the business at hand now. Dragons, even if you simply incarnated the dragon, he would have remained a non-sentient. Well, when I say non-sentient, in time, he would have grown smarter and learned to carry out your commands, but it would have still been a long way from a real dragon. That would have happened if you took the standard path and accepted my help. But you chose the way of the shaman, and in the end, We have what we have. In this world your totem regains his memory and can speak with his family, but no more than 50% of the time, because the rest of the time he must spend with you. It is also possible to return his memory to the dragon in our world, but for that you need to bring him to level 200. When you go back, he will only be level 1, and you would only be able to summon him for 2 hours a day. For now, this is all he can do. As his level increases, so will the time he can spend in your world. So that's how it is.
And about that bit where I became a dragon?
You hadn't become anything. You were a shaman, and that's what you have remained. So what if, on your return to our world, you'll be a total wreck for a couple of days and develop immunity to poisons? All of them. And a couple of other things, which you'll have to deal with yourself. You still have much growing to do until that time comes. It's nothing to concern yourself with right now.
Strange. If I've acquired these abilities, why hasn't the system informed me about them? And how do dragons level up? I ask because I'd like to know how to return your memory. I looked at Draco.
Summon me, often, and set me to hunt various critters. But if I get sent to the Greylands, I'll lose 10 levels. Remember this.
Yep. This is just like a common hunter's pet, but one that allows you to work with spirits. Not bad. Is there anything else I need to know? I'm beginning to run out of time now. I will have to be getting back.
The rest you'll learn as you go along, said Renox, and then turned to a pleased-looking Cornic and rumbled, You won the second time, too. Where did you find an apprentice like this?
The second time? I looked questioningly at Cornic.
Renox promised a reward worthy of an emperor to whoever gained his totem, and said that anyone who made it possible for him to speak with his son, even briefly, would be altogether enriched. We made a bet that you won't even bring up the reward. Got another barrel of wine off him.
You have my thanks, shaman. Only a harbinger is able to take something material out of our world. But there are things of greater value than gold. Information. Look at these 2 maps. They mark the places with ancient treasure vaults of the dragons. We have no need of them now, but they could be of use to you. You can take someone with you to the first of these, but to the second you must go alone. And, most importantly, I see that you have begun to restore the Commandant chess set. I liked that man. He was a great ruler. Just remember this. Whatever logic or hints may tell you, always choose the right way.
Game World Maps Updated. Your maps have been updated with the marks of 2 dragon treasure vaults. The marks have been numbered. The right way? What right way?
That is all. It is time for you to go back.
Can I ask a question? How did you and Swiftbell become friends?
I, Shaman Swiftbell, helped Renox to look for a candidate who could get the dragon as his totem. A wasted 20 years,
Cornic replied for the dragon. But the old ladies, his sisters, said that...
For them,
he will always remain a merchant, a trader, and an adventurer. Not everyone needs to know the truth.
Hold on, another question.
Cornick, I'm beginning to understand you. You give him an inch and he'll take a mile, remarked the elder dragon.
At our last meeting, you said that I should be preparing for something, that there was very little time. What did you mean?
I ignored the dragon's words. If I'm being impudent, I may as well go all the way.
Cornick looked thoughtful and then, carefully choosing his words, said,
"Great change is coming to Barleona, but the Emperor is refusing to see it. He's totally blind."
"Change? What change?"
"Enough questions. You will find out for yourself soon enough, if you continue to do what you have been doing. You have to become a great shaman. Keep learning."
Quest accepted. The path of the shaman, step 3. Completion of the trial to become a great shaman. Description. Complete the trial to become a great shaman. Next trial in 3 months' time. Quest type, class-based.
The question about what it was I should continue to do was about to leave my lips, when I suddenly found myself right in my bed in Elizabeth's summer house.
"You have acquired a passive ability, dragon blood, immunity to all poisons. Attention, a new stat has become available to your character, spirituality. Spirituality affects the ability to work with spirits and put together different spirit combinations and allows you to summon spirits of other classes. As you level up in this stat, the penalty for combining spirits is reduced. Do you accept? Attention, you will not be able to remove an accepted stat."
I think I'll go for it. I should have filled up the last empty slot long ago. Even if this isn't a straightforward damage-based stat, I rather enjoyed combining the spirits. Some good stuff came out of that.
"A new stat has been unlocked for the character. Spirituality, current level 1.
I looked around, about to wonder why Cornick took me back to my bed after leaving me by the village gates last time, when I became submerged in pain. At first, it was an insignificant tingling throughout the body. Then I acquired a modification debuff, and the pain began to grow. I held out as long as my willpower permitted, but then broke and started to scream and howl. The pain was terrible. When modification changed to transformation, I was already barely conscious. Just lay, curled up in bed, emitting an occasional howl.
What happened?
Somewhere on the edge of consciousness, I heard the worried voice of Elizabeth.
Man, what happened?
A veil of pain completely obscured my consciousness. My hearing probably went, because the surrounding world was submerged in muffled silence. It seemed like an eternity had gone by before the red haze before my eyes flickered and I came to myself. It was as if someone had pressed a button and turned off the pain. My first thought was, it's so good to be an ordinary player. There's no pain and you can leave the game any time.
Mistress! Mistress! He woke up!
I found myself in a well-lit room.
How do you feel?
I managed to focus my gaze on Elizabeth. I'll live. I tried to understand how I was feeling. There was no more pain. All my stats were norm.
What?
The level of endurance had increased to 27. Just how much enduring did I do?
Oh, dear, you really gave us a fright, continued the landlady. I didn't even know what to do. You were burning like a furnace. The priest came to look, but couldn't do anything.
You spent 2 days in a fever, rolling around in the bed. And today, it's like you've been reborn. Would you like some tea?
I didn't get it.
Why was she being so nice?
I looked at Elizabeth's properties and was a little surprised to see that my level of attractiveness with her was at 34. Another 50 and she'll start flirting with me.
Why, all of a sudden? Mahon, are you alive already? Tomorrow we'll start learning to work with spoons and forks. I only taught you the very basics. There are still so many details to learn. It's right scary. I'll drop by tomorrow morning. And don't forget that you promised me a present.
Clowder quickly ran into the room before immediately zapping off again. I just seriously don't understand anything. I had little desire or inclination to lounge around in bed. After getting ready to go, just before leaving the room, I glanced in the mirror.
My red headband. It was gone. How could I have forgotten? Now it was clear why everyone was so nice to me all of a sudden. I had regained the standard 20 points of attractiveness.
There came a clap of an opening portal, and a herald entered the room.
"My lord!"
Elizabeth, who was still standing by the door, bowed in a graceful curtsy. It was so elegant that it could not be spoiled either by her simple dress or her hair gathered in a tight bun. Who was she?
"Mahon, I have come for you. In 5 minutes, the chess match between the Phoenix and the Dark Legion clans will begin. As the creator of the chess pieces, you have been invited as an observer. Come."
Elizabeth stared at me wide-eyed, and in her properties, attractiveness rose by 20 points in one go. Now it was 54. Women, whether real or NPC, the more important the company a man keeps, the higher his attractiveness. I was ready to go, so I stepped through the Herald's portal straight away. I would finally see the Emperor's palace with my own eyes. Chapter 9. The Shaman's Mistake. The Emperor's palace dazzled. It was sumptuous, as full of decorations as a Christmas tree, and glittering in all the colors of the rainbow. Neatly trimmed hedges, paths of golden sand, grass that made you think you've never seen green before in your life. The developers had made a real effort with this location. The palace of the Malabar Emperor was considered the height of the creative endeavor of designers and artists. Every 3 months, contests were held on how to improve its already perfect look. Though seemingly an impossible task, the creators still found bits to improve, which the designers would make, while players who had managed to experience such beauty would enthusiastically recount the wonders of the palace to their friends. Video recording didn't work inside the palace, and it was impossible to take screenshots. These functions were disabled at the level of the capsules and code. Even media programs about the palace only showed the publicly accessible territories. The palace remained a mystery and a beckoning center for all the players in Malabar for the entire 15 years of the game. Similar palaces existed on other continents, but the design and the style of each was different, as was the reputation that you had to obtain to enter the palace. If you wanted to have a look at all of them, you had to reach Exalted with all the 5 emperors. As far as I knew, there was only a small handful of such players.
"Please, follow me."
The herald brought me back to Earth from my exulting contemplation of the palace's wonders.
"According to the rules, the creator of cursed items cannot be seen by anyone in the palace.
To accomplish this, you and everyone around you are placed in different instances. Even if you walk through a player, neither he nor you would feel anything. This is because the Imperial Palace is one of the few places on our continent where violence is forbidden. This was news. Did this mean that each player enters his own copy of the castle, while other players are presented to him as projections? And what about items? For example, what if I take a chair and throw it at another visitor? The chair is local and everyone has access to it.
You're not the only one so quick-witted, smiled the herald. As soon as a visitor touches anything, it gets transferred to his dimension, so it's impossible to hit another guest with it.
Then how about this? Two guests grab this sword, for example, at the same time. I pointed to an exquisite blade on the wall. Will there be two copies of it, or will it go to one particular person?
For that, we have guards around here. As soon as visitors start experimenting with inflicting damage on each other, they are immediately removed from the palace and are forbidden to ever come back. I should tell you that the palace has seen a fair number of such guests in its history. Some of them are still writing letters to the Emperor asking for pardon, but His Majesty is firm in his decision.
This way, please. We went through the arch of a door and found ourselves in a hall full of guests. There was a buzz, like in a disturbed beehive. Players constantly whispered to each other and, if I wasn't mistaken, were separated into two camps, into two big groups of people, each about 30 to 40 strong, Phoenix and the Dark Legion. Almost everyone who had access to the Emperor's palace was gathered there, flashing angry glances and making rude gestures and, in general, doing their best to show their disdain for the other clan. Judging by the fact that no one took the slightest notice of us, the herald's words were true. I remained unseen by the others.
The Emperor is currently giving some parting words to the players. Please wait in the hall. When he finishes, I will take you to the game room. You can stay here and look around.
I followed the herald's advice and headed straight for the players. I had little interest in the Dark Legion, so went over to the Phoenix crowd, which included Anastaria, Hellfire, and Rick, among those I definitely recognized.
"Stacy, tell me again, why did we come here? It's not like I have nothing better to do."
When I came right up to a small group consisting of people that I had depicted as chess pieces, I began to make out their conversation.
"Calm down, Hell. If Killer told everyone to show up, he meant everyone. You'd better check out Plinto blowing his top over there, stupid pawn. When I catch Mayan and tear out his reproductive organ for making these chess pieces, I'll remember to thank him for this particular portrayal. I even felt like clapping when I saw this."
"Yeah, you sure hit the mark with that. But why of earth am I a rook? I get it with Plinto. No one ever really took him seriously, despite the levels. But me? I feel quite offended."
"Don't take any notice. You and Rick are the backbone of our clan. Essentially, you and he are keeping the fighting and economic parts of the clan afloat. That's why you are depicted as towers, like an unshakable foundation. I'm rather perplexed by something else. How does Mayan know about Eckler and Evelet? It's not like they've ever made themselves stand out."
"And what does the boss say? Has he already contacted the administration?"
"He's as silent as a grave. Said that we won't get a word out of him until the game has been played."
"Damn. I don't want to get a debuff.
Hellfire even looked downcast.
I had plans to take people through a couple of dungeons. I don't want to strain myself unnecessarily.
Who cares about the debuff? At least for now. We'll figure out how to deal with it in the run-up to the tournament. Do drop by once this is over. Reconnaissance has reported that anomalies have been detected in 6 more places aside from Farstead. I sent groups there and will fly there myself tomorrow to investigate.
Ziggurats, too?
Looks a lot like it. The map isn't working, and there were goblin sightings. Level 80 this time. If we were out of luck in Beatwick, again, because of that damned shaman, in these zones, we have to be the first.
By the way, Stacy, what are you really planning to do with him? Make him a master?
No, he won't go for it. I will buy him. I'll take the orc warriors off him now and the other chess pieces later.
And what if he refuses?
Like hell he will. We've come to an arrangement. I'll wait until we're allowed to fly to Farstead and hand over the agreement to him myself. Just a little of the poison, and even the craziest agreement would look like the best deal to him.
Maybe it's best not to play with fire. They aren't worth it. You only have 3 more cautions left. Why take such a risk? I think there is a more effective method. The red headband will help us out, and the pain factor hasn't gone anywhere.
Let's talk later. I already worked through all the possibilities. The chess pieces will be mine. And that's that.
Mayan, let's go.
I didn't see how the herald appeared next to me.
The Emperor has finished with his parting words. The game will start as soon as you enter the room. Please, come this way.
Damn, there was a lot of interesting stuff I was hearing in the talk between Anastaria and Hellfire, and now I was being dragged away from them.
One thing was clear, Phoenix won't be getting the figurines, no matter what agreement they try to send me. If Anastaria needs them, I could find a use for them too. The small office where I found myself was completely packed with different shelves full of books, scrolls, and other paperwork. There was dim candlelight, 2 armchairs, a table with a chessboard carved into it, my chess pieces, and a jug of wine. There were also 2 players sitting opposite each other, Eckler and Evelet, each giving a hateful look to his opponent. Several players came up to their kings, wishing them luck. Then came the bang of the closing door, and both players breathed out, leaning back in their armchairs in relief.
"You're looking well there, brother," said Eckler, looking pleased.
"You're not looking too bad yourself, old boy,"
Evelet replied to him in the same tone. I was ready for anything, swearing, screaming, or threats. But I would have never dreamt that the de facto heads of 2 clans that hate each other would end up being brothers. Were they blood brothers or sworn brothers, I wondered. And where's my armchair, or will I have to stand for 2 hours?
"Why do you never visit? Allie's been asking if anything's happened to you,"
Eckler continued.
"Has Barleona sucked you in to that extent?"
"Not really. It's just the new election campaign is coming up, and the boss is hoping to run for mayor, so we're all hands on deck. You wouldn't believe it, but I haven't set foot in the game in 3 days. Just haven't had the time. I even lost 1 work team that way. Just couldn't get to them, and they wouldn't accept food from anyone else. How's it going on your end?"
"Same old. Allie and I are off on a trip tomorrow, to the sea. It's been a while since we've been. I'm gone for about 3 weeks, just until our next game, as it happens."
"And who will run the clan while you're gone?"
"Stacy.
It's time she grew up.
Yup, my niece is one smart cookie. Will she cope?
Of course she will. She's in charge of her own department of brainiacs. How's a clan any different? She'll do fine. I've been wanting to hand the clan over to her for a while now. I'm beginning to grow tired of the game. Money, power, receptions with the Emperor, with unforgettable delicacies. But in real life, the half-burnt flapjacks of my wife taste miles better than everything generated by the brain and taste receptors inside the capsule. I'm growing old, Al, I know. I'm in my sixth decade now, and still playing games. If not for Cartus, I would have left long ago. Your move?
E2 to E4, a standard move. Let's decide from the start. Do you need a win? Plinto has been tearfully begging me to kick your ass. He's preparing to go on some raid and really doesn't want to get that 10% debuff.
No, don't need it. It's about time my lot are taken down a notch. They've soared so high they've begun to see ordinary people as losers. But who were they, exactly, before they joined the clan? No one remembers anymore. I think I'll let you have the games right up to the tournament.
You want to win that, eh?
Who doesn't? I have no rivals. My apologies, but yours are just a pack of disorganized morons.
That's fine. No point taking offense. We knew from the start what we were doing when we created the clans.
True. The only real competition could come from the Azure Dragons clan, headed by Undigget. But he lacks an able organizer. So yes, I intend to win. By the way, I'm about to capture your Plinto. How did the creator ever get the idea of making him into a pawn?
Yes, it's rather amusing. And just look at your figurine. As stuck up as a goose, nose turned up so high you can see a mile inside. The pieces were made by a good master and came out very well. What do you know about Mayan? By the way, did you find out why the heck these chess pieces even appeared in the game?
Yes, I managed to have a chat with the admins. Such items are being introduced on all the continents right now. The reason is simple. To increase competition between the leading clans and give the rest an opportunity to catch up. As for the creator of the chess pieces, he has my sincere thanks. For example, in Grindos, they created a wooden domino set of non-standard size with meter-high tablets. Can you imagine the joy of shifting those tiles around? They may puff and pant, but shift them around all the same. We're the ones who have it easy, sitting here, sipping the wine and having a chat. Now then, the creator of the chess set couldn't have helped it. The admins were looking for a player capable of creating such a thing. When Mayan started to create the chess pieces, at Hellfire's request, as it happens, the corporation made its choice. He had no chance to create anything else. The chess pieces were forcefully introduced into the game, so it's not his fault.
Will you take him in?
No, and I forbade everyone else from doing so. I want to see what he makes of himself. I don't like the current trends. In the past 2 years, we've accepted 5 players with crafting, and half of them gave up playing, while the other half never gained more than 1 level in this stat. Let him do his stuff outside Phoenix.
Have you asked your acquaintance in the administration why we turned up as kings? We always kept a low profile, and then, surprise, surprise, Are you sure there isn't some informant behind this?
No, this is more complicated. Your move, by the way. The choice of the figurines was left completely in the hands of the creator, including their appearance. How does he know the real state of things? That's the real question. What are you doing? You'll have a checkmate in 3 moves.
Oh, that's right.
Some player you are, damn it. Here, take the queen. Being so well informed about who is who in our clans is another reason why I want to see how Mayen will evolve on his own. I will watch him from afar and not interfere.
Is this all you know about him? Do you know that Mayen and the creator of the Commandant chess pieces are the same person? Is Phoenix's intelligence functioning so badly?
Of course I know, but without a full set they are useless. Only when they are all brought together with the board will they open the passage to the creator. One or two pieces by themselves are of little use.
So he should make the rest.
You can't force someone to craft something like that. I already gave Hellfire a slap on the wrist for asking Mayen to make the dwarf figurines as a present for Anastaria's birthday. You can't force someone to create.
All right. Then I will instruct mine not to touch Mayen either. Let him create in peace. By the way, do you know about the additional 6 anomalies?
Yes, we've already sent groups there. Looks a lot like the ziggurat that's in the Krong province.
I still can't understand what it is that the corporation is cooking up, putting Carter's forces in the vicinity of Malabar, with the support of magisters, too. Something big is in the pipeline. But what?
Time will tell. At last! Listen, you really need to improve your chess skills. You're playing like a noob. If Father was still alive, he'd be very disappointed.
Don't grumble. You won, and that's good enough. Oh, the buff has turned up. You know, it'll be fun playing with this thing on.
Mayen, please come this way. The herald appeared right next to me. The first game has been played and the rules have been met. The other games will take place without your presence. I hope you've had a pleasant time.
Harold, can I stay for 5 more minutes? I begged.
Again, something told me. I had to stick around, if only for a couple of minutes.
If you stay in the palace for 3 more minutes, you will be denied access to the external palace garden. The herald's reply was firm. After 3 minutes, the access to the palace will be lost to you permanently. Even the first kill would not permit you to return here. Make your choice.
I will stay here for another 3 minutes. As soon as the time runs out, please do take me back. But I need those 3 minutes.
The countdown has begun. You have 3 minutes. After that, you either step onto this portal, the herald pointed towards the whirlwind that appeared, or wave goodbye to the palace forever.
I understand. Thank you. I turned back to the clan kings. They sat there, slowly drinking their wine in silence.
Well, guys, what did you want to tell each other?
2 minutes went by before Evelyn began.
I think the herald will have taken him away by now. He has no business being in the palace with his reputation.
I agree. So, back to the business at hand. Tomorrow I'm sending Hellfire to Sarist. He has to be taken out of the game for at least 12 hours. The boy's been gaming himself out of line lately.
Can you arrange an ambush for him, please?
Done. What about Mayen?
For now, nothing. We can't go to Krong. The conditions of the quest prevent us.
And what about the 6 new points?
A lot of time can go by before you develop them and understand what's what. Let Anastaria try, but I don't believe we'll see much success there. I would have to fly to Farstead myself. There I'll find Mayen and have a heart-to-heart chat with him about the chess pieces and the information about us. No one informed him. He found out himself, somehow.
By the way, don't you want to take him in?
The damn condition for the Commandant chess set. You read the scroll yourself.
Mayen, your time is up. Make your choice, the portal or banishment.
Once again the herald appeared next to me, cutting off the sound of the brothers' conversation. The portal, I managed to force out of myself, but it was so difficult to utter those words. The shimmering cloud immediately enveloped me, landing me in Elizabeth's room. What had those two been talking about? Right after my return to Beatwick, I shut myself inside the summer house, completely cut off from the world. The conversation of the two brothers completely threw me. Were they even brothers? Now I wasn't all that sure that what I heard was true, and my intuition was silent. I had even more questions now than before this chess match. An analysis of that meeting was in order. Facts. 1. Two players, who are the actual leaders of Phoenix and the Dark Legion clans, know each other well and carry out certain of each other's requests. 2. The clan leaders knew that the creator of the cursed chess set would be present at their first game and put on a performance for his benefit. 3. As soon as the month that I have remaining to complete my quest runs out, a swarm of high-level players will head for the Krong province. At the same time, a certain number of these players will be very aggressive towards me. 4. There exists a scroll with information about the Commandant chess set. 5. Conclusions? The chess set will stay with me until I see that scroll. What should be placed in doubt? 1. That the players are brothers. Reason? For some unknown purpose, these two players have shown me that far from being enemies, they are actually very close relatives. Why did they do this? To show that I can forget about joining either clan, since they'll get to me in either one? I don't get it. 2. The arranged nature of the games. Reason, the first game was a show put on for my benefit. It is highly likely that even the scoreboard would remain open during the games. Knowing full well that I would be present at the match, and still revealing that Phoenix will be having very bad luck for 4 months in a row, smacks a lot of disinformation. 3. Both clan leaders know that I created the Orc Warriors. Reason? A bluff aimed at getting me to finally admit it and hand the figurines over to them. Yeah, an interesting situation. And yet I'm completely out of ideas. What to do? Damned if I know. Only one thing is clear. I urgently have to focus on the important activity of boosting my skills and levels. I have to raise myself up to at least level 40, then I can speak to the clans on a better footing. I have a whole month to level up as much as possible, time I mustn't waste. I will create the present I promised Clowder right now, and then go out into the field tomorrow. Draco also needs to be leveled up. Speaking of which... Hi. Come now, we need to talk.
Coming.
As Draco said when we were in his world, here he was still small, just over half a meter. Not a problem. I'll get busy with leveling him up from tomorrow. The timer for summoning the totem immediately popped into view, counting down 2 hours. It was a level 1 totem, 20 hit points. Strength and intellect depended on the player, but it couldn't exceed the pet's level by 20 points. No matter. That'll do, Draco, for now.
Listen, I keep forgetting to ask. What is your name?
Draco stopped and stared at me with big, naive eyes.
Damn, why am I asking him? He's a child. He'll take any name you give him.
But what if a grown-up, Draco, didn't like it? That would be a pity. I see. I asked the wrong question. From today until you reach level 200, you will be called Draco. We'll figure out what else to call you when you grow up.
Draco, said the totem thoughtfully. Draco. I like it. I'm Draco.
After clicking OK to the question of whether I agree to this name for my totem, I came out to the courtyard with the flying kiddo in tow. If I remember correctly, there were many low-level beetles and flies around here on which I can unleash my pet to hunt and level up.
A dragon?
Our lessons were interrupted by an astonished whisper from Elizabeth, who was staring wide-eyed at Draco turning another bug into a little pile of ash. With 20 levels in intellect, the little dragon could spout fire very well, destroying one beetle or butterfly a couple of levels higher than him in one breath. 30 minutes of battling the insects in Elizabeth's courtyard raised Draco to level 3. I wondered if he had a system for point allocation, like with the hunter pets, or did all his stats go up proportionally at the same time? The manual had nothing to say about that, and I didn't even bother looking at the forum. It was quite useless.
Where did you get him?
Elizabeth regained her composure and respectfully watched Draco flying about. This is my totem. I habitually looked up Elizabeth's properties and was dumbfounded. Attractiveness? 70 points. Another 10, and my landlady will start making advances towards me. She is, of course, an attractive NPC, but the depicted character came with a clearly specified age. She's a bit too old for me. Damn, what am I on about? I'll have to be catching her in 4 days' time.
But dragons don't exist. Aftondil, stop!
Shouted the landlady, when a gust of ginger hair flew past her and crashed into Draco. My blood froze. If my totem gives Clowder the same treatment he gave Almas...
Mom! Mom! Look! It's a dragon! Look at the tail he's got! Oi! No, you don't! You'll never catch me!
Accompanied by the enthusiastic barking of Tiny Tim, there were now 2 kids running around the courtyard, a human and a dragon. The difference in their races was immediately overlooked. The children screamed, shrieked, and chased each other, having completely forgotten about us.
"He won't do anything?" asked Elizabeth, stumbling over every word.
"He shouldn't. He's well-behaved." I was about to call Draco back, but was stopped by a message that popped up.
Totem level increased by 1. Current level, 6.
A couple of minutes of running around the yard and you get a level? Why, all of a sudden? I suppressed the desire to get my totem back and simply watched the kids chasing each other around. Then came hide-and-seek, it, and dodgeball, which Elizabeth and I were dragged into. By the end of the 2nd hour since Draco appeared, all of this raised him to level 17. Why? I had no rational explanation for this,
so I was simply glad it happened.
"Was this my present?"
asked an out-of-breath Clowder, when Draco waved his talon at him and disappeared. That's it. Now he's inaccessible for 24 hours.